Good morning and welcome into Pete's Talk. This is our town. I'm Chris Johnson, your host, and in the studio with me today is the Honorable Aaron Ellison. And Aaron's like me, he has two hats to wear, so we're going to put one of them on, then we'll change hats in just a little while. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Chris. Good to be here with you this morning.
Well, you have two hats, as we said. You are the coroner of Chilton County, which is a pretty big honor, and you were elected coroner by a pretty good margin, if I remember correctly. So
yes, sir. Blessed. Just started my third term last month, so very, very blessed in that aspect. Now,
tell us a little bit about the responsibilities in Chilton County of the coroner and the coroner's office, and maybe some history behind the coroner's office. I guess it goes back probably as far back as politics in Chilton County goes.
It does, Chris. The office of coroner has changed a lot just in the years that I've took office here. Of course, it's the coroner's duty to certify any what's called unattended death. Basically, anybody that doesn't pass away in a hospital or under hospice care, that's where the coroner's office steps in. And of course, we handle traffic fatalities, suicides, homicides, any unattended death where a doctor's not present, basically. The coroner's office today is more so clerical today than anything. It's the coroner's duty to certify all those unattended deaths, sign the death certificates. A thing that's come about recently, and a lot of people don't realize, is with cremation, the coroner also has to grant approval for cremations on the deaths that happen in his county. So anybody that passes away inside Chilton County, whether it's a coroner case or not, the coroner has to sign off on that cremation to take place. And that's something that's come about in the last couple of years. So it's mainly a lot of paperwork.
Yeah. I kind of understand probably the theory behind that, because once you cremate somebody, there's no exhuming that body to do any further test. If there's some question comes up about the death later on, the forensics of it's gone once it's cremated.
That is correct, Chris. That's actually a law that was put on the book back several decades ago through the Alabama Department of Public Health. And actually, a few cases along those lines is what brought that law back up a few years ago. And the State Department of Health come to the State Coroner's Association and asked, will you please help us to start enforcing this? So now, throughout the state, there's a generic form that all funeral homes fill out when a family chooses cremation, and they send it into the coroner of the county where the death occurred. And then, of course, if we don't see any issues or anything, we sign off on it and send it back, and then they're good to go ahead and follow through with the family's wishes and requests in regards to cremation.
Yeah, well, and times have changed a lot down through the years, too. You used to, when somebody died, and there wasn't too much question, you know, hey, they just died. But this day and time, whether it's a young child or an old person, that question always has come up: was this a natural death, or was there foul play involved?
It does, and there's certain guidelines that we look at, and that's one good thing here in Chilton County. As far as my office, the coroner's office, we have a excellent working relationship with our sheriff's department, John Sharon, and them over there, and his team of investigators. I'm also blessed to have a good working relationship with all of our municipalities here in the county, from Jemison, Thorsby, Clanton, Maplesville. And so when those issues come up, we're able to get together and address those and put our heads together and do what needs to be done. So we've got a great team in law enforcement here in Chilton County.
And I've personally observed you working with them on a couple of times from one of my volunteer organizations I'm in. And sometimes you get into a little pickle when you've got a body discovered somewhere it's not supposed to be.
That's correct. And yes, you've been out there on us with us. And sometimes that can happen in the middle of the night. And we're thankful to you folks with the rescue squad to always come out and give us some light to work with and help us out. And
we've actually improved that a little bit. We learned on the last two outings that we've had with the sheriff, and I know you were on the last one for sure. I'm not sure. I think you were there on the one prior to that. They were digging, looking for where they'd been told one was buried that wasn't supposed to be buried. And so we upgraded our lights and got something a little more portable to get a little closer with that to a little more detail lighting. So we improved that. We always try to improve. We've been around since 1955, and we're constantly trying to improve things and hope we never needed to be to use any of it. We hope it all rots right there in the building.
I understand that, but it is appreciated to have that, especially, like I said, with the lighting situation. We get out on some of these scenes, and you're trying to process what in some of these cases is a crime scene, and daylight begins to fade, and you're still there trying to collect evidence. Those lights sure are a blessing, and we appreciate them.
You can't just say, "Well, we'll be back in the morning," because
no, sir, because
you can't leave it.
That's it. Can't leave it, and your evidence may not be there come morning.
And a lot of times, it depends on the particular case, but some of the evidence is time sensitive. Time creates degraded the evidence, and
especially when we're dealing with forensic evidence. Yeah. Time is of the essence.
There's something else that always comes up, though, as a coroner that I've heard mentioned several times, and I don't know if this is factual or not. I think it is, but I'm going to ask you this question. See, if I understand correctly, the only official that can arrest the sheriff is the coroner. Is that correct?
It seems that question, Chris, comes up every election cycle. People ask that, and that is true. Under the Constitution here in the state of Alabama, the coroner is the only official or only person that can legally arrest the sheriff. And I tell people when they ask that, there's normally a lot more to it than that. It's more or less you're just there in an official capacity. Those things are normally handled through the district attorney's office or the Alabama law enforcement. You're just kind of there to sign the paper, so to speak. But unfortunately, that's happened a couple of times here over the last couple of years here.
Not in
Chilton County, but in the state of Alabama, yeah. It's happened where the coroner has had to assume that role until the governor could step in and appoint someone. But as you said, no, we hadn't had that happen here in Chilton County. And thankfully, with the men and women that we've got here in law enforcement, I don't foresee that happening. So because we've got some good folks here that we work with.
Well, I know down through history, we've had several coroners in the county. I know a friend of mine was the coroner previous to when you were elected this time, and I think he was one of the first to be a coroner that wasn't directly affiliated with a funeral home, which has nothing really to do with it. But I know that some advancements have been made down through time. I guess we still have the coroner's office with the facility to maintain a body, which we used to didn't have.
Well, the county is currently in the process of, the county has taken possession of the old DHR building, mm-hmm. out on Airport Road right there, adjoining the airport. That building has been converted for the Sheriff's Department investigative office there, and we're in the process of putting a new coroner's office in part of that building. Okay. We'll have on-site refrigeration there, be able to... heaven forbid, if we had a mass casualty situation, we'll be able to, hold several people there and to process that out. So hopefully sometime within the next year, we'll have that up and online and running out there. So it'll be a good thing because we work hand in hand with the investigators, and that's going to kind of put us in the same building right there. So it'll be a convenience factor also.
And you'll still have the capability of preserving a body with the refrigeration and so forth to
correct,
which
yes.
makes a lot of difference when it comes to an investigation. I know used to they'd have to really hustle to get them to Montgomery or somewhere to be refrigerated.
The State Department of Forensics would come out and they would actually transport the body to the state lab, and Chilton County falls in the Montgomery Medical Lab with the state, so they would transport down there, and then they would transport the body back to a funeral home, and then and this has been several years ago, we're probably talking 15 years or more, the State Department of Forensics done away with that. So now it is the coroner's responsibility when we do have a body that has to go for an autopsy or an exam with the state medical examiner. We're responsible for getting the body transported down and getting the autopsy and things of that nature set up. So that falls within our capabilities also.
Yeah, a lot of people just don't realize that there is a lot that goes on to be coroner, even in a county the size of Chilton. Of course, Chilton's growing and I hate to put it that way, but your business, and that's growing quite a bit too. You have a few more things that the coroner has to do than probably the first time you served as coroner.
Well, there is, Chris, and a lot of things that the state has come out with now. There's reports that we do. We send in regular death reports, and on top of the death certificates, cremation certifications that we do, we also have to send different copies of toxicology analysis, autopsy reports into various entities of the state. State has like a violent death reporting system where we report deaths separately for things such as suicides, homicides. There's a drug reporting system. We have to send our cases that are drug overdoses. We have to send that into the state for them to analyze what drugs are in our communities. What are we seeing? And you know, when a lot of this come out, a lot of us, you know, we kind of look and said, you know, that's a lot of extra paperwork. But what, at the end of the day, we send all this information in through these various systems to different entities within the state, and basically what it equates back to is federal dollars flowing into the state. If you see an area that has an unusually high overdose rate, there's federal dollars available to help mitigate that and for programs and stuff in those areas. Same way as with violent deaths, if the state sees that there's a lot of violent deaths happening in a concentrated area, there's federal dollars for programs to study that, see why that's happening, institute programs there. So bottom line, all these reports filter down, and it equates to federal dollars flowing into the area.
Coming into the state and into our own county.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's let you take the coroner hat off and put on your other business hat. So we'll let you put on the Ellison Memorial Funeral Home hat and tell us a little bit about the history behind Ellison Memorial Funeral Home and your history as a funeral director, how you got into that. That's a question everybody wants to know, I guess, is why in the world would you get into that? And we'll talk a little bit about what's going on there and some of the product that you offer in the community and in that business.
Well, that's Chris, that's a question everybody asks. I guess the number one question is, you know, why would you want to get into the funeral business? And I laugh and tell them I don't know, but all I can say is it's a calling, and that's the honest truth, is it's just a calling. This fall will start my 20th year in the funeral business here in Chilton County. Lifelong resident here, grew up in the Union Grove, Mineral Springs community up there. Graduated from Jemison High School. And while I was in high school, had the opportunity to go to work with our other funeral home here, Martin Funeral Home. Bobby Martin over there gave me the opportunity to come to work with them as a student in high school. Once I graduated high school, I went on to Jefferson State there in Birmingham. That was the only accredited college in the state that offered a degree in mortuary science. And graduated there in 2007 with a degree in mortuary science. Got my funeral director's and embalmer's license shortly thereafter that. And then in 2010, got presented with the option to go in ownership. At the time, there was three of us partners that went in to found what's now Ellison Memorial Funeral Home. There was myself and Tim Mims and Troy Kleckler. And we started out as Ellison Mims Funeral Home and opened our doors November the 15th of 2010. And then after about a year and a half, Tim had some personal issues and that he decided to step aside there. And we went forward as Ellison Kleckler Funeral Home. And then in 2014, I purchased Mr. Kleckler's interest in the business, and it went to Ellison Memorial Funeral Home, and that's what we've been operating as since. So This year will be 13 years this coming November that been there serving the people of the county.
As you and 23 years as you and the original forming partners then.
Yes, sir. So they like I said, now of course Mr. Mims passed away shortly after his leaving, and then Mr. Klexler passed away just a few months ago, and both good gentlemen I was privileged to have had the honor to work with for a period of time.
Well, I knew one of them better than the other one, but both of them were, from what I know, fine people. I know the one that I knew well was and highly respected.
Yes.
Highly respected in the community, as you are as well. And needless to say, that shows up when they go to vote with that other hat on. But I noticed, of course, I live right past the funeral home there, so I pass by quite a bit. It looks like, as the old joke says, folks are dying to get in there.
that's about one of the oldest in the book there. But the community's been very good to us over the years that we've been there, and we've been blessed each year to serve more and more families. And community's just been very good to us. We've been very blessed.
In my lifetime, I've had the opportunity, if you want to call it the opportunity, to be served by your competition and yourself. And we're blessed here in Chilton County that we have two facilities that both do a wonderful job.
Yes.
Y'all were just as nice as anybody could expect in the time y'all served our family. And we appreciate that so much. I know you also probably don't. It's the old saying in the Bible: don't let your left hand know what the right hand's doing. But I know some cases that you've had where you've really helped some families too that were really in a bind when it come time to use the services that you offer.
Well,
I commend you for that, because that's you let your Christian attitude step in and take over the business attitude from time to time, and that's good. That's good. That shows your character to me.
Well, Chris, I've always viewed the funeral business as a ministry to people, and at the end of the day, it is a business, and it's what provides for me and my family and my staff's family. But still, first and foremost, it's a ministry, and that's the mindset is, you know, what can we do to help people? And we know sometimes that death catches families off guard and unprepared, and we want to do our best to try to help them and to try to mitigate their situation and help walk with them through that situation.
You know, a lot of people, they really, that's the last thing they want to think about is planning for their death, but that's something that we're all going to experience. I mean, that's
if the Lord tarries,
we're not going to get away without that. Death and taxes are two things we can count on unless the Lord comes back again prior to death day or tax day, the one. But he's going to have to hurry up. He's going to make tax day. But you know, y'all offer some plans that people really need to consider thinking about. And that's pre-need planning. Pre-need planning has a lot of advantages. I know y'all offer full pre-need planning.
We do. We offer full pre-need planning. People ask all the time, what's the advantages of doing a pre-arrangement? And there's actually several advantages to that. A lot of people do pre-arrangements, number one, for financial reasons. Because if you can come in today, choose the services, items of merchandise you want, and you can prepay them. And that locks them in at today's price, and you're protected against rising prices, inflation.
And that has happened drastically over the last several years. I'm sure it has. I know it has in my businesses, and I'm sure it has in yours as well.
Very much so. But a lot of folks choose to do pre-need to take the burden off the family. And it does take a burden off the family when we're able to go into an arrangement conference with a family, walk in with that folder, open that folder, and say, this is what Mama wanted, or this is what Daddy wanted, this is what they've picked out, this is what they've provided for. We just need you to set a time for the service. As opposed to having to go through the hole and sitting there wondering, well, what would Mother like, or what would Daddy have wanted? It's all taken care of. It's all there.
Yeah, I've been on both sides of that coin, and the one that was pre-need was was so much easier because, you know, that's the time in your life that you really don't want to be making a lot of decisions. And, of course, like I say, in the cases I've had to deal with, both organizations involved have just been awesome to help. But I know Marsha's, my wife's folks had pre-need with you, and it was so simple that it wasn't any questions of what Sue wanted and how she wanted it done, or what Marsha wanted and how he wanted it done.
Right.
And
it takes a lot of those questions out, and it cuts down, because, you know, this day and time with families, pre-need cuts down on a lot of inter-family squabbles that
yes.
we see, where you may have children that's not in agreement on what should take place. You're able to open that pre-arrangement, and it's all spelled out there on what the deceased wishes were, and that mitigates a lot of different arguments and situations that can arise in a time
They can plan exactly what they want, what casket they want, what kind of service they want, what kind of music they want,
down to a T,
down to everything but the time.
That's it.
And I joked with my wife. I told her I was going to go ahead and just put a date on the tombstone for her, and base it out about, you know, where she get an extra 20 or 30 years. Because I joke, because she's never on time for anything. So she's. So I told her I could put that on, and I don't have to worry about she being early. But anyway, all jokes aside, it is a serious time when people are in need of your services, it should be a celebration of life, and I know that y'all are very respectful, and that you do assist folks in doing a true celebration of life for those people that do their pre-planning and pre-need. And I guess in the pre-need thing, you can go all the way including the grave opening,
everything,
the monuments, whatever monuments want, slabs.
We can include it all in that. But it's primarily focused on the family and people. People a lot of times ask, you know, is there any such thing as a good funeral? And I'm quick to tell them there is.
Yes.
There is such a thing as a good funeral, and a good funeral is one that honors the life that's lived, and it honors the one who gave the life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can balance those two things out, and when people can leave a funeral service and they can honestly say that they've remembered the life of the person they've come to remember, and they've left there with some hope and some inspiration from the Lord, and you can combine those right there, and It you can have a good funeral, and that's what I tell people.
You can. I've been to, you'd hate to say that, but I've been to several of those good funerals. Now, I've been to some funerals that weren't good funerals, yes. but I have been to some that were good funerals.
Yes. Absolutely.
That I said, you know, hey, that's the way I want to be, you know, right there.
Absolutely.
Well, I noticed in passing by, there's some activity going on at Ellison Memorial Funeral Home. You've got some construction stuff, looks like, getting set up, ready to roll. Tell us a little bit about the future plan here.
Well, Chris, we're getting ready to embark on our largest expansion in our 12-year history. We are looking to expand our facility out on Laydam Road. We're looking at renovating the current facility to where everything will flow together. The new facility is going to have several new things. It's also going to have a first for Chilton County. We're bringing Chilton County's first crematory here. There's never been a crematory to operate here in Chilton County, so we're going to have an actual in-house crematory. So when a family calls on us to provide cremation services for their loved one, their loved one will never leave our care. They'll never leave our facility. Everything will take place on site. We're also going to have new state-of-the-art arrangement rooms. We'll have one that's going to be catered toward families seeking traditional burial, one catered toward families seeking cremation services. We're also going to have a large multi-purpose room there for families that's wanting to do Celebration of Life. We see families that's kind of wanting to do some things that maybe me or you wouldn't consider as traditional there, but it'll be a room that they'll be able to design and set up to their liking, to their wishes there for their service. We'll still maintain our traditional chapel. And we're also going to have an area set up on the exterior of the building for smaller outdoor type services. People want to have like an outdoor visitation or something of that nature. We'll be able to accommodate that. And in our new portion of our building, it'll also have new offices for Chilton Memorial Gardens here that we acquired last year. So we'll have an office specifically dedicated to that. So we've just received our final plans in-house last week. So we're just kind of waiting on good weather and for them to get started. And hopefully, if everything goes according to plan, we should be in the new building hopefully sometime in the third quarter of this year.
Well, that's awesome. And you have another location as well, correct, in out from Calera?
We do. We have Shelby Memory Gardens right there on Alabama Highway 25 between Calera and Montevallo there. We have a satellite funeral home there. There's a small chapel there. We handle services there. And then, of course, the cemetery there as well. And we also have Green Hill Memorial Gardens and Mausoleums in Childersburg. That we own and operate there. So we kind of serve a very broad area with cemetery services. So three cemeteries and two funeral homes.
Pretty much all of Central Alabama.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to ask you another question. We've talked about traditional and we've talked about cremation, and there's a new process that we're hearing a little bit about. We've got just a minute or two left. And it's and I probably not get the terminology right, but it's
hydrolysis, aquamation. We've had a couple of calls about that. That is a process that has been going on out west in areas like California for a few years now. There is one location here in Alabama that's offering it up in the Anniston area. It's basically a chemical form of cremation. It's kind of built as kind of an eco-friendly version of cremation, but you know, the cost perspective of it is significantly higher than traditional cremation.
All right, well, we have just about buzzed through our time, and I appreciate you so much taking time to come spend a few minutes with us here at WKLF. And so you've been one of our sponsors here at WKLF for a long time. We appreciate that as well. And that just shows your involvement in the community. And I know you are involved in a lot of things going on in the community and support a lot of the events going on with schools and civic organizations and your involvement in the community. And that's what makes a business in Chilton County successful. And I think over the last 12 years, we could say you've had a successful business, and a successful career is our corner as well.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. We appreciate y'all here at WKLF and appreciate y'all's service to the community here. 75 years.
75 years. So we're in year number 75. So the transmitter's in the same place. Nice. The studio actually was downtown for about 3 years, and then it moved to this right. building when they built this building. But transmitter's always been here, so we've been broadcasting from the same site, not the same tower. We lost the original tower in the tornado several years back, but the current tower sitting within just a foot or two of where the old one was. And the new one's going up right exactly where the old one was, which we're planning on putting up. But anyway, I appreciate you joining us on the Peach Talk. This is our town, as we've tried to talk to different business owners around town and establish some of the history of the businesses in town and just talk about some things going on in Central Alabama. And you know, because Clanton and Chilton County is probably one of the world's best kept secrets.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, Chris. We appreciate you having us on this morning.
All right. Well, we appreciate you being with us, Aaron, and we appreciate you, our listeners, for spending 30 minutes with us here on Peach Talk. This is our town. Join us again each Friday morning at 8 o'clock, and we rerun it every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock right here on WKLF, 1000 AM, 95.5 FM, and, of course, all over the world at WKLFradio.com. I'm Chris Johnson. Thanks for listening. This is Peach Talk. This is our town.